Hey, good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. We are talking Riley County Historical Museum here today for the first three segments, and then later in the program we'll hear an interview with Barbara Bouillier, candidate for U.S. Senate. But let's start by introducing our first guest, and her name is Alana Parker. She is the curator of is it design at the Historical Museum? Did I get that right?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, and she's here to talk Halloween history in Riley County today. Well, this is a fun topic. This is, I think, going to be a lot of fun learning here this morning as well.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having us this morning. And it's a really fun topic. We were looking back at some of the history here in Riley County of what was happening during Halloween, and we found some pretty amusing stories. Of course, you have those pranks that kids would like to do around town, and so that's what I thought we'd share a little bit of that today. And then if any callers had any experiences that they remember growing up in Manhattan, Riley County with Halloween, some of those handmade costumes and things that were popular at the time, we'd love to talk about.
All right. Yeah. I encourage people to give us a call, 785-537-1350. And specifically today, we're going to be talking about a certain time era here in Riley County.
So we have, in looking in the newspapers, some of the 1880s documenting what was happening in the community at that time. So I can go ahead and get started here. Some I think that listeners might think are interesting. So this is November 7th, 1885, and this was from the Industrialist newspaper. It said, quote, "Halloween this year seems to have furnished the excuse for a lot of the most unhallowed pranks on the part of the students. The number of gates unhinged, outbuildings of the unmentionable sort inverted, which came in sight with daylight on Sunday morning, bore evidence of the remarkable industry boys will show when engaged in a disreputable sport." So it's talking about some of those pranks that it seems that were popular at the time. Of course, you had your outhouses. Well, they would turn those outhouses over or even move them. They'd pick up the building part and move them to the front yards of residents in their yards there. And also what was common was stealing gates. That seemed to be a common theme throughout that decade and into the 1890s are people just stealing gates from homes. But I can't imagine opening your front door in the morning and from a Halloween prank, somebody's put an outhouse in your front yard.
No, that's pretty awful. And I imagine, did they catch some of these kids? Were they charged with any crimes? Do you know?
They did. And that's a really good point, too, because some of these pranks, and one of the quotes from the newspaper, it says, "Just a word of warning, though, the line between pranks and prison is awfully easy to step over." So one of the most egregious things that I saw of one of these Halloween pranks, this was November 5th, 1890, that was reported in the Manhattan Mercury. It said, quote, "Someone devoid of sense opened two of the hydrants Halloween and drained the reservoirs nearly dry. The only protection we have from fire is the water in the reservoirs, and a concentrated effort should be made by the citizens of Manhattan to learn the name of the guilty party and secure his arrest if possible. The superintendent of the waterworks offers $25 for the arrest of the guilty party, and we trust the city council will add $100 more to this reward." So you can see they were very motivated to find whoever did this, and that's a sizable amount of money for 1890. But imagining the situation where somebody has completely drained the water reservoir, if there's a fire, that's your way of combating that fire. So that was probably one of the worst pranks that I came across from that time period.
Wow. Yeah, that water is so valuable. Even back then, I mean, probably not to the technological level that we have these days with our water system, but geez, I mean, goodness, I don't even know if it was a drought year that year, how awful that could have been.
Absolutely.
Wow.
So you can see they were very motivated to find, and to find the perpetrators there. And in multiple weeks, I couldn't find if they actually found who did it, but they're advertising, the above reward will be paid for any information which will lead to the arrest and conviction of the person or persons who opened the fire hydrants on Halloween night.
Mm. So pranks have always been commonplace around Halloween, but is it a certain age group here that you see are committing the most of them back in the 1880s?
So there were several mentions of the college boys, and it seemed a majority of them were the college men who were going out on Halloween. It does make reference to the ladies are staying at home and having private parties. But there are younger boys, too, so even younger than college age. And one of those, so this was from November 4th, 1887. It says, on Monday night, Halloween, a grown-up hoodlum on horseback went around with a gang of small boys, 8 to 10 years of age, inciting them to mischief, to displace everything movable, which included signs, gates, footbridges, etc., was the game. For teaching profanity, vulgarity, and general lawlessness, it was a successful school. So you can see here's a grown person who is recruiting a group of young boys to go around, and that was common too. It seems just misplacing things. So if there was a wagon, they would move the wagon. You know, I referred to the outhouse. They'd move the outhouse. Buggies, they'd put them up on carts to where you'd have to, or on boxes where you'd have to get the buggy down. So it seems like that was a common thing too as a prank on Halloween.
That's fun. It's the sense of humor that people had back then. It's not something you think about a lot when you think back about 100 years ago. Everything seems so serious and you know, we're just getting by here with what we have.
Absolutely. And that's what's so much fun about going through the newspapers. You get to see a lot of personality come out in whether it's the way that the article's written or the people in general. There was one here, November 2nd, 1888. This was in the Manhattan Nationalist. It said, Halloween nincompoops did their work Wednesday night as usual. Gates were carried off, buggies placed on buildings, and barrels and boxes placed in the streets to frighten horses. Not so much devilment was carried on as last year. So that's what you just, as I said, you get a sense of personalities, and it really gives life. And you're exactly right. Sometimes when you look at pictures, you know, people often at that time didn't smile in photos for various reasons, but this kind of gives it some color there and helps imagine what it was like to be in, you know, Manhattan on Halloween in the 1880s.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty interesting. And just, yeah, the way that it's written, you know, people complain these days about biased reporting in the news. And when you have someone just reporting, oh, some nincompoops went out and caused, you know, havoc across the county. I mean, even back then, the reporters were pretty known for kind of slanting a story there a little bit, but instead
right.
of just being objective. But
absolutely.
But that's interesting, and it's neat to go through some of those. What about costumes? Any word on costumes that people were wearing?
Absolutely. One of the common ones, people stealing, you know, their mother's sheets if they're hanging on the line, and of course, common would be just a simple ghost. So using those sheets, cutting holes in them, and then getting in trouble for it later for cutting holes in their mother's sheets. But that was a common one. And the other thing I thought was interesting, trick-or-treating, that seems to have come about in the 1920s. In the local papers here in Riley County, the earliest mention of trick-or-treating was in the 1940s. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I always kind of thought maybe it'd be a little earlier. So I'll have to look into a little more history about that here in Riley County.
Yeah, I'm always curious when, you know, we kind of adopted candy with Halloween, if that was just something that's always been a part of the holiday, or maybe that was created by the candy companies. I mean, I've never really heard on that.
Yes, and that's something I'd be interested after looking at some of the history of what was going on here to find a little bit more context for that and what was going on a national level in regard to that. would be really interesting. But it's just fun to see different parties. You could look at the newspaper the day after Halloween, and it seemed like there were just parties that took place in the homes and in different places throughout Riley County, and they would describe it, that holiday party or Halloween party, in detail. So one in particular here, this was in, so looking just 100 years ago, what people were doing for Halloween. So this is 1920 in the Morning Chronicle. So it talks about Mr. and Mrs. Lloyd entertained at a Halloween party Thursday evening. The guests were met by ghosts and were taken through the basement, which was decorated in autumn leaves, pumpkins, corn, black cats, and pumpkin lanterns, into a witch's den. A receiving line of ghosts met the guests upstairs. The rooms were decorated in festoons of black and orange, black cats, witches, etc. A witch and ghost and such weird apparitions were much evident. The evening was spent performing stunts. So imagining all these homes, there were at least on one front page of the newspaper, 20 parties mentioned similar to this. So you would have these kind of haunted houses too, and this was in 1920, that people would hold in their private residence.
Cool. That's awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break. We'll talk some more about some of these parties and costumes and much more. The History of Halloween in Riley County continues here on In Focus after this.